Wall Street to the White House. This is the Larry Kudlow Show.
All right, some money in politics. We got Liz Peek, Fox News contributor, syndicated columnist. We got Steve Moore from FreedomWorks, comedian, Unleash Prosperity Hotline, and his WABC radio host of More Money on many of these same radio stations. Welcome back, kids. Liz Peek, what is this anti-Semitism on college campuses? And the fancier the school, the more anti-Semitism. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, honestly, I don't get it. I went to one of those schools, too. So did you. But really? I mean, really? Is this the best they can do? And these college presidents have feet of clay, and they're afraid to say anything, Liz Peek?
Well, I think they are. And the reason is that this is not something new. This has been blossoming for, I would say, two decades maybe, where basically the Palestinian-Israeli conflict has become an issue on college campuses where left-wing foreign policy professors are basically taking the side of Palestine. I mean, it's very simple. Israel's the bad guy. They are the oppressor. They're keeping millions of people in bondage, in effect, in Gaza and the West Bank. And this has become an anti-Semitic trope, if you will. But it's really horrifying to me, Larry, as it is to you. And it has gone unchecked. When Ilhan Omar talks about it's all about the Benjamins, talking about why we support Israel, young people take that to heart. And they say, well, why are we supporting Israel? Not because it's a democracy, not because we are longtime allies of this only democracy in the Middle East, but rather because our world is controlled by Jews. This is a dangerous thing, Larry, and frankly, it's probably a good thing that we are seeing this in action, because now people are alert to it, and yet it has been there. It's a cancer, and it's been growing in Europe and in the United States.
Yeah, put it out in the open. That's an interesting angle, Liz. You get it out in the open so it can be smashed down. Keep it from the sort of sub-status that it's had. But you're right. And by the way, you're right about Europe. It's amazing to me. European businesses have turned anti-Semitic, don't want to do business with Israel.
Yeah.
It's really quite remarkable. Quite remarkable. Very disgusting. Steve Moore, you know, I don't understand this. I tried to watch some of the coverage, Fox coverage and so forth, of these protesters. You know, Israel basically, for better or worse, and obviously for worse now, let Hamas run Gaza, okay? That was probably a mistake. But this whole issue of colonization, Israel let them run it. And in fact, you know, we're in a sense surprised because everybody thought Hamas was busy governing Gaza, if such a thing is possible. And now look what's happened. So I didn't even understand that argument.
Well, I just want to say that I went to the University of Illinois, which is one of those land-grant universities, and we didn't have those kind of protests. We're not one of those elitist. It is amazing, as Liz was saying, that the more elite and upscale the university, the more crazy they are on these campuses. And shame on not just the protesters. These are kids 19, 20 years old. They don't know what they're doing. But I'm surprised and disappointed in the university administrations and the presidents of these colleges that they haven't really spoken out. These are the same people who shout down any conservative who goes on campus, right? And now they're allowing these kind of despicable protests. What can I say? It goes back to what Sarah Huckabee Sanders warned about when she gave the response to the State of the Union, that what we have is two choices in America today, common sense and craziness. And unfortunately, the Democratic Party has been overtaken by a lunatic left. And what's disappointing to me, Larry, is that there are so few Democrats who are willing to speak out against the crazies in their own party.
Pathetic. You know,
yeah, but
Rashida
remember,
Tlaib.
They need youth voters, and they don't have them right now. Young people are identifying as independents, not as Democrats. And Joe Biden, in particular, if you look at his polling, young people just aren't going to turn out for Joe Biden. So what he should be doing right now, Larry, is giving an Oval Office address attacking anti-Semitism, making it clear there is no room for that in this country and talking about the history of the Holocaust and the Jewish people. I mean, I looked at a CNN survey done maybe 3 or 4 years ago showing a third of people in Europe don't know anything about the Holocaust. Mm. An incredible number of Americans could not name a single Nazi camp. They had no idea what had happened to the Jews in Europe. Why is this happening? I mean, I find I'm not Jewish, but I tell you, if I were, I would be scared to death right now because all of these signals are so terrible.
No,
you know,
like
what's
that.
Amazing about this, Liz, is that it's the, you know, for the last 20 years, it's been the left that has accused the right of being Holocaust deniers.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they accuse us of being Nazis. Mm-hmm. And look what's happening by these kind of Nazi, you know, Hamas is basically like a Nazi organization. And so many of these members of Congress and the Democratic Party and on college campuses are siding with the with Hamas.
Yeah.
I like that Oval Office speech. He won't do it, but that's a terrific idea. Now, there is some, you know, Liz, you got Bill Ackman of Harvard who fought back, and the guy, the head of the board of the Kennedy School resigned. He was a big donor. Larry Summers, good for him. You got at the University of Pennsylvania. You got some big-time donors who are calling for the president's head. So that goes to your point. So it's surfaced, and there is a backlash, okay? And they don't want to hire kids who are okay with babies' heads getting cut off. So maybe some good could possibly come from this.
Yeah, maybe. And again, I think it's really up to leaders. I mean, where is Chuck Schumer on this, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he is a senator from a state that is home to more Jews than any place but Israel. They have been remarkably quiet, those New York Democrats, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. they should be leading right now. They should be exposing these lies, because that's what it is. To Steve's point, the reality is that Hamas has been involved in governing Gaza, as you point out, Larry, no mean feat, to be sure. But they have taken enormous amounts of money from the UN and mm-hmm. other organizations and basically turned it to creating war. This is not a group that is supportive of the Palestinian people or the welfare of the Palestinian people. I get that those, by the way, President Carter wrote a book about which basically went into the misery of the Palestinian people and discussed Israel as an apartheid nation. This has been a long time in the making. And I really think, you know, these college campuses have spawned this misinformation. That's what it is. And somebody needs to really go after this. And really, it should be Joe Biden.
Well, you're saying that Hamas is not the Palestinians. That's a really important point.
Yeah,
that is
true.
A really important point. Most Palestinians do not belong to Hamas. And so to group them together is misinformation, and it's a fundamental misunderstanding of the political governance over there. Hamas is just a crazy terrorist group. Palestinians, that's a different ball of wax altogether.
It's a crazy terrorist group that is funded and supported by Iran. Mm-hmm. And I think the great missing piece in this whole discussion of the last several days has been the Biden administration literally putting a blindfold on and saying, nope, no evidence of Iran's involvement. The New York Times and the Wall Street Journal have provided a lot of evidence of Iran's involvement. And yet we can't go there, Larry. Why? Because oil prices would go higher. And who does that hurt? Americans and Joe Biden's approval ratings.
Yeah, you know, Steve, Janet Yellen gives a speech Wednesday. We haven't relaxed the sanctions. Of course they've relaxed the sanctions. That's what all the numbers show on oil production, oil sales, foreign exchange reserves. All that stuff was practically zero when Trump left office. Now they're booming. I mean, the $6 billion thing, Steve, let's keep it away from Iran. But that's a drop in the bucket compared to $70, $80 billion of oil sales. That's where the revenues are coming from to finance Hamas and Hezbollah.
There's no doubt about that. And look, how many times have we warned on this radio show and on Fox News and all three of us about the fact that not only has the Biden anti-American energy policy, an incredibly economically imbecilic thing to do. But that this is a national security threat as well. And we knew this from what happened in Russia. And we know that basically the Russian war machine is funded with oil dollars, which we could have denied them if we'd continued with the Trump pro-drilling policy. And we also knew that terrorist countries like Iran were, you know, where else would the money come from Hamas than Iran and from the petrodollars? And I estimate, you know, I think you said, what number did you say, 70 billion?
70
Larry,
Yeah,
that's about what I have a piece on FoxNews.com on this. I estimated a little bit lower than that, about 40 to 50 billion. But that's a huge amount of money that's being financing these weapons and these missiles that are being used to slaughter people. So let's get back. I mean, if Biden were serious, he'd say, you know what? We're going to put climate change aside for a few months, and we're going to drill every single barrel we can to take money away from these terrorist groups. But he simply will not do it.
I mean, the trick now is to get a bipartisan group together, and they exist. Talking to Joni Ernst about this, talking to Kevin Cramer about this, and rejuvenate, reimpose maximum sanctions on Iran.
Okay, yeah.
Trump had them close to bankrupted, so you didn't hear from them. Biden never even mentioned Iran in his speech on Tuesday. I mean, you have a chance now to get a bipartisan group together. Richard Blumenthal wants to do it, believe it or not, with Joni Ernst and others. You know, that's what they need to do. They come back this week, reimpose maximum sanctions on Iran.
Well, and by the way, another element of this is who is buying all that sanctioned oil from Iran and also from Russia? It's China, who, as a result, is basically acquiring energy cheaper than almost anybody else in the world, including us right now. So this is sort of a double-barreled insult to the American people, that we are not only allowing Iran to raise a lot of money this way, but it's also helping China.
All right, take a quick break. Liz Peek, Fox News, vindicated columnist, Steve Moore, committed to unleash prosperity, and his WABC radio show, More Money. I'm Kudlow. We'll be right back.
Larry Kudlow on 77 WABC. From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. We're talking money and politics with Liz Peek, Fox News contributor, syndicated columnist, Steve Moore, FreedomWorks, Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline, and the WABC radio host for More Money. Steve Moore, why can't Jim Jordan become Speaker? He needs 50 votes, something. Why can't he get there?
You know, I love Jim Jordan. I think he would be an excellent Speaker. He's outstanding. He's a great congressman. He's pro-growth. He is fiscally conservative. I think he's got the toughness to do the job. I was never in favor of getting rid of McCarthy in the first place. By the way, I think Scalise would have been a good speaker as well. I just hope it is Jordan. I mean, I'm so angry at these House Republicans that they can't get their act together. I mean, I wrote in the hotline the other day, look, if they can't choose a speaker, they don't deserve to be in the majority. This is just craziness, especially at a time of crisis. They have to get this resolved Monday. We have to get – I hope it will be Jim Jordan. This is taking way too long at a time when there's a real crisis in America, both on the budget and what's happening abroad. I don't know how you two feel about it, but this is just disgraceful. They can't get 218 votes for anyone.
I think he's going to win. I'm going to buy him a jacket. I'm going to buy him a nice jacket. Charlie Hurt said we could get him a secondhand jacket. But the thing is, Liz, you know, Jim Jordan's Hakeem Jeffries' worst nightmare. I mean, Jim Jordan founded the Freedom Caucus.
Yeah.
He's very conservative. He was a champion NCAA college wrestler. He doesn't let go. I mean, I think it's ironic that he would be the toughest. I mean, I didn't want to get rid of McCarthy. I like McCarthy. I also like Steve Scalise. But I also like Jim Jordan. He's an old friend. Strong conservative. Steve is right. They've got to make their move on Monday. The Senate comes back, and they've got work to do on Israel and budgets and all kinds of things. I mean, why not just get it done?
Yeah, and I hope that they will. I mean, there is absolutely no excuse for not voting for Jim Jordan. He's been in Congress a long time. He's a leader. He's been a very effective head of the Judiciary Committee. So I don't really know where any opposition would come from except from moderates. And I think they have to just look, the fact that Jim Jordan signed off on Steve Scalise suggests that he understands the issue of governance. He understands the need to bring the caucus together. Surely he will. Unfortunately, I read that they won't even address this issue until at least Monday night at the earliest. I think it's time for them to display some sense of urgency. As Steve says, we are at war. We are at war, at least via proxy. And this is really not a time to be messing around with personality divisions. And that's kind of what it's come down to. So, and by the way, I read a really stunning article this morning about bond markets and funding our national debt and so forth. If people aren't paying attention to this, Larry, this debt issue and deficit issue is not minor. This is huge. And at some point, you know, there are a lot of people who just think we're never going to solve this problem and that we have really big, big financial problems ahead as interest rates keep going up. And it's hard to argue with that. So, you know, Republicans have to take, you know, hold of Congress. They have to push aggressive spending cuts and show the American people that they know what they're doing.
You know, Steve, I can't wait to see Jim Jordan in the Oval Office negotiating with Joe Biden. I mean, what a treat that would be. Jim Jordan, Joe Biden. It's Biden's worst nightmare. That's one of the things that I really like about this.
Me too. He's a fighter. He's a wrestler. Did you know that, Larry? He's a wrestler. Wrestlers know how to fight.
You ever see a college wrestling match? They don't give up. I mean,
they don't give up.
I mean, it's really interesting.
Right. And look, there's what worries me is that there's now talk, chatter about some of the moderates possibly making a deal with the Democrats and having some kind of weird coalition governance of the House, which would be a horrific idea. And so all the more reason to get this done. And Liz is so right that, you know, what's happening right now with the fiscal situation in Washington, people really should be paying attention. This is as serious as a heart attack. Out of control government spending with interest payments now becoming the fastest component of the debt. And those higher interest rates are affecting everything. I mean, mortgages now, I was just reading the other day, and doing these calculations that, you know, you buy a median value home in America today, your mortgage payments each month are going to be at about $2,000 higher a month, Larry, than they were under Trump because of these higher interest rates.
Mm-hmm. Well, just get moving. What do you think you'll do first, Steve? What's the highest priority? I mean, they'll have
they gotta get a budget.
Yeah, they got to finish the budget off, right?
That's and they got to get the appropriations bills. One thing I like that both Scalise and Jordan have been talking about is some penalty. They've got to basically say, if you don't get the appropriations bills done, nothing else gets done, you know, by a certain date, then nothing else gets done until these appropriations bills get done. This has been the pattern now for 20 years where we haven't even been passing real budgets, Larry.
Well, he'll stop. He will try. He will try to stop an omnibus bill. But, you know, he's been a good citizen. I mean, he's not a crazy person. He's done a good job on the Judiciary Committee.
Great job.
He voted for the debt bill. He voted for the CR, okay? Not all conservatives did, obviously. So, Liz, you know, I think Jim Jordan be a good citizen, and it's his time. That's just the way it works out.
That's my point, and I think he has a sense of what's necessary right now. And by the way, I never thought Steve Scalise was going to make it across the threshold. If they didn't like McCarthy, they weren't going to like Steve Scalise. I mean, these conservatives are pretty dug in, and I have to say, as much as I am furious about what's going on, because, oh my gosh, Republicans have such an opportunity to have a blowout election in 2024. We do not. Nikki Haley said something very smart, which is you have chaos from the Democrat Party on the border, on inflation, on so many things. Yeah. We can't fight chaos with Republican chaos. And I think that's totally right.
All right. Well, let's get moving. Save America. That's what we're going to have to do. Thank you ever so much, Liz Peek and Steve Moore. Folks, I'm Kudlow. Great pleasure today. We will be back next weekend.